Rip City, welcome to the Graveyard Pod. This team is toast. This team is garbage. I'm just kidding. Who cares? We knew that this wasn't the year. Stop everyone freaking out that we didn't trade for Kevin Durant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tracy McGrady. I mean, I'm still mad about we didn't trade for Tracy McGrady, but no, I'm just kidding, everybody. The sky is not falling. The season is not over. Lillard is not leaving. Calm down. Everybody pump your brakes. We're here to do another episode. We're back two in a row. We're on track. I got Fawad here with me. How are you doing tonight, Fawad?
I'm good. I didn't sleep a lot last night, so I'm a little bit tired. So forgive me if that comes across, but I'm still excited to be here, even if I might not sound like it.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that I've been waking up about an hour and a half before work to play a video game, if that tells you how much I've been sleeping. So
what are you playing these days?
That Harry Potter game I'm addicted to. That is a very fun game to play. So if you guys have been thinking about buying it, I suggest you buy it because it's fun. But we're here to talk about our last podcast was about the trade deadline, and now it is after the trade deadline. So we're going to talk about it. First things first, Fawad. What was your reaction? Just in general, before we even get into it, what was your reaction to the trade deadline? For us and just in the NBA as a general.
NBA in general, it was pretty crazy.
Yes.
I don't remember if anything huge happened on deadline day, but I think the day before was KD.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously Kyrie a couple days before that. Yep. So, you know, especially for a deadline that everyone was saying, you know, is going to be pretty quiet across the league, there was a lot of Woj bombs and Shams, whatever his thing is called. So that was exciting. But for us specifically, I have mixed thoughts. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It's just, there were issues I had, but we'll get into the details.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like this is one of the bigger, like, even though, like you said, there wasn't, like, huge trades being made, there was a ton of just ton of trades happening. Like, I feel like more than normal on a trade deadline day. I felt like every 20 minutes we were getting a message someone was being traded.
Yeah, honestly, it probably was close to one of the highest.
Yeah, it was very weird, very strange. First things first, for those of you who don't know, I'm surprised if you don't, but Kevin Durant traded to the Suns. Kyrie Irving traded to the Mavericks. Something me and Fawad talked about a little bit in Discord. So if you guys are not in Discord, head over to Discord. There's a link in our podcast description. Not a single player was traded away from Toronto, and they actually traded for somebody. So I said in Discord, I'm kind of happy that they couldn't offload anybody, that they're kind of stuck with who they...
Hey, stop with that disrespect. Kem Birch was traded away. That is some mess that you forgot about him.
Was that the guy that was included for...
For Pirtle?
Mm, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, the Raptors could not offload any of the big guys they wanted to get rid of because their asking price was too high and no team was willing to, you know, give up 37 first round picks. Rudy Gobert ruined the trade market a little bit. And then I also feel almost kind of like the Thunder have ruined the trade market with the plan of just stockpiling 500 picks.
Thunder, Jazz, they're throwing off the values for all the first round picks.
It just seems like everybody is like, if I'm going to tank, I want all picks. I don't care. Like, it's just crazy. I've never seen so many teams have so many picks. But like you said, there wasn't, this is how I feel with our trade deadline. You're either going to absolutely hate it and you're going to be like, this team is god awful and these are the worst trades and Joe Cronin's an idiot and sucks and, you know, whatever else you can come up with. Or you're going to be like Fawad and I, you're not going to love it. You're not going to hate it. You're just kind of like, well, it is what it is. It's a little indifferent. So let's go over it real quick. Let's go over the very first trade we had was Josh Hart. I think that was the three-team trade, right?
Was it three teams?
Was it? I could be wrong.
I thought it was just us in New York, but I'm not
sure. It might have been. We traded Josh Hart, who most likely, I mean, we kind of talked about it in the last podcast, would probably opt out of his player option. He'd probably be gone, so we wouldn't have him. We got Cam Reddish, which we'll talk about here in just a second, and a first round protected pick for next year's draft. If the Knicks do not make the playoffs, then that first round pick turns into 4 second round picks. So first things first, I feel like if you have a player that you are expecting to leave at the end of the season, getting a first round pick for him is pretty good value. I mean, usually that's not what you usually get, especially if it's not like a huge name player. So just let alone get a first round pick potentially, even if it's going to be a later round pick. I was happy with the trade. Cam Reddish, me and Fawad differ a little bit. I won't say a lot because I don't want you to think that I think Cam Reddish is a good player or could be a really good player. I just think there's a chance that he could be a decent role player that could contribute off the bench for a cheap amount. He's a decent defender. He's 6'8". He's kind of long. Offense isn't like stellar. I know he's a top 10 pick, and I know that's kind of what you're going to talk about, but let's go ahead and just let you go in on this trade in general, and then on Cam Reddish as well.
Okay, so with all of our trades, how many trades did we have? 2, 3? I don't know.
We had two.
Okay, so with both of our trades, one, you know, common issue I'll get into a little bit later, so, because, you know, I don't want to get too repetitive. My, you know, not an issue with this trade was I don't agree that Hart was gone or that he was leaving. I think he would have opted out. I'll give you that. But I think we could have and should have re-signed him for a bigger amount. You know, you can argue that you don't want to risk free agency, or you can argue like he wasn't playing well, but I think he would have turned it around eventually, and it was on coaching to, you know, help him fit in better. He never felt comfortable in the offense, and he said himself he doesn't blame coaching. And I'm not saying, you know, Chauncey did something wrong. I'm just saying there had to have been something to do to make him fit better, because we've seen him play so much better offensively before this season, and even already the trade has happened. He's had two games with New York. He's played amazing offensively and on both ends, but like he was good on defense here too. He was great offensively in both games. The second game he had 27, I think he had like 4 threes or something like that. So, you know, the idea that he was leaving at the end of the season, that fundamental thing I don't agree with, which is why, you know, I don't love the trade. But let's say we accept that for whatever reason we're not keeping him and he's leaving at the end of the season. If we, you know, take that as a given, then in that case, I don't want to say I like the trade, but I thought it was fine. You know, getting a first round pick for, you know, an expiring contract is not bad, especially since New York is probably going to be in that 15 to 20 range. I don't think they'll be too much higher. So that's a good pick, to be honest. And even if they, you know, somehow collapse and miss the playoffs, 4 seconds is not the worst thing either. But it is more than likely that they will make the playoffs. So, you know, a mid first round pick, that's about as good as you can do for an expiring free agent role player. So that wasn't, you know, one of my big issues. And then I don't really have an issue with including Cam in that trade either, if he was just throwing. But the idea that I guess fans have, and I hope the front office doesn't have, is that he's gonna be, you know, a contributor for us. I don't think he has any potential for us. I think he'll be out of the league within probably like 2, maybe 3, not even 3 years. I think he'll be out of the league in 2 years. Mark my words and remind me in 2 years. I think he hasn't done anything since high school. He was not good in Duke, but people, you know, they made excuses for him. He was playing behind Zion. He was playing behind RJ. Okay, fine. He's drafted 10th. He goes to Atlanta. They're a good team. They're a good offensive team. He doesn't play good. He has, like, you know, maybe one or two good games in the season, but he's generally, you know, underwhelming. In both of his seasons, he doesn't play that well. He's not looking like a lottery pick. Then come, you know, off season after his second season, beginning of his third season. I'm sure the issues probably started earlier, but they became public around that time where he's kind of an issue in the locker room. Maybe not with the players, but definitely he's, you know, beefing with the coaching staff. He's requesting a trade, you know, as a rookie, like on his rookie contract, he's requesting a trade. And then you see Atlanta actually trade him for literally like no return. I think it was like a protected second they got back or something like that. Or maybe it was a protected first that turned into a second. But like they were happy to ship him off like with no problems for very little return, and that's a lottery pick that they used. They just gave up on him two years in. That should tell you something. That and that, you know, the GM at the time, I think he stepped down or stepped up or something like that, Travis Schlenk, most of his trades have been pretty good. So I think if he was not willing to, you know, work out with Cam Reddish, I think that shows concern. And people are forgetting about his whole Atlanta stint too. But anyways, now he's in New York. You know, people say Thibodeau didn't give him a fair shot, but look at his games played, look at his minutes. He started probably like 15 games and he got good minutes off the bench in like another 20, 30 games. He was given more than a fair shot and he was terrible again, even though he requested a trade. And, you know, he got his way and he was given a chance to shine and he was just as bad. And then, yeah, eventually he had to take him out of the rotation. And look how good they're doing since he's been out of the rotation. I think when he was playing, they were probably around 500, maybe less. And now they're probably like a top six seed. I don't know. I haven't checked the standings in a while. But they've been doing really good since they benched him and took him out of the rotation. So that's, you know, another big concern. And he was having issues here too, where I think he requested a trade. He didn't want to be there. He gave them like probably less than a season. I think it was like two halves of a season, and he was like, "I'm out." I have issues with him off the court and on the court, because again, on the court he hasn't shown anything since high school, and off the court we've heard of issues with Atlanta and now with New York, and I'm sure it's only a matter of time before he's complaining about something here and, you know, I guess he can't request a trade since he's expiring, but I don't think he has a future, definitely not for our team, but I don't think he has much of a future in the league either. So, you know, I'm fine with him as a throw in to the trade just to, like, match contracts or whatever, but I don't want to see him kept. I'm honestly kind of not too happy that he's even getting minutes right now, even though he has been like okay. But I don't like all the fans that think, oh, we got Cam Reddish, who's a lottery pick. No, he was picked like 4 years ago. It doesn't matter. He's like not good now. So that's, you know, that's my thoughts on Cam Reddish. I know it's a little bit of a hot take, especially amongst Blazers fans. Or no, pretty much only against Blazers fans. If you look at any Knicks fans or any Hawks fans, they're gonna say what I'm saying. They are completely done with him. No one like really thinks he has any potential. So we'll see what comes with him with us. But I think that's where I stand right now.
Yeah, and I mean I agree with you. I do agree with you. I think the difference, and I don't even think it's a difference. I think I'm just willing to see what he can do with us, but I have no expectations from him. Like you said, it's not been pretty so far. Do I think it could be? I think he could, like, I think if he gets out of his own way, if he gets out of his own head, and I'll be honest with you, this might be the team to do that with, because he's going to have Dame and he's going to kind of have, I don't know. I'm torn on him because I truly don't care either way. If he plays good, he might earn himself some kind of cheap little contract. If he doesn't play bad, or if he plays bad, then, oh well, he was a throw-in. He's gone after this year anyways, and no harm, no foul. We either get a first or 4 seconds. I will say, since we've had him, he's not played terrible for us. He's played decent. Tonight, as I'm looking, we're playing against the Wizards right before All-Star break. He's 4 for 6. He's got 10 points. He's not the greatest rebounder that I've, like, I mean, I know we're probably comparing it to Josh, which is, you know, crazy, but I mean, he's not the greatest rebounder, but he is a decent defender. He's long. He's got 10 points. The other night he played against the Thunder, I think he had like 11 points. And then the Lakers, it wasn't a very good game for him. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm not overly excited for him, but I'm also like, if worst case scenario, he sucks, he's gone anyway. So no harm, no foul there. More importantly, we got that first round pick, and that's what most people should be excited for and happy for. But this next pick, there's a little drama with it, or not next pick, trade. Sorry. This next trade. Yeah. This next trade, there's a little drama with it, but this is a trade that I actually was really excited for what we got.
Are we going to address the elephant in the room first or at the end?
Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. Go ahead. You go ahead and talk. You let them know. Let everybody know.
Okay, I'll go first, but I also don't have a lot of thoughts on this, so I'm going to pass it off to you very soon. But okay. What was a quick recap of what happened? You know, obviously we traded Gary Payton for 5 second-round picks to the Warriors. Who do you even get in return? Oh, right, just the picks. I don't think we got a player, right?
Just the picks, yep. No players, just the picks.
Yeah, so that happened, I think, the next day, maybe 2 days later. The Warriors leak that failed their physical. They expect him to miss 3 months. And they claim that we've been giving him turtle shots to, you know, force him to play in our games, and we've been overlooking like an issue that's he shouldn't be playing right now. He should be missing like 3 months. You know, that came out of nowhere, but that's one thing. I don't know, that's what they thought. I don't know where they heard it from, but then like the day after that they file like a formal complaint against us to the league that we've been, you know, we deceived them and didn't provide the full story, and now the trade was in jeopardy for a while. It has been clear now, but they tried to, you know, they didn't try to get rid of the deal, but they tried to, they wanted us to take some heat for it. And they also brought up, what was it, the Pelicans trade with Larry Nance, that we did the same thing there. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, Nance had been out for like 2 months, so both teams, everyone in the world knew he was hurt and he wasn't going to play, and he did still come back and play for the end of the season, and he's been healthy since. So I don't know where that came from. But anyways, my thoughts on the Warriors did. I was just, like, baffled, to be honest. It came out of nowhere. He's had a recurring issue with his core. So given that he was a former Warrior, they should have been aware of that anyways. But, you know, to play devil's advocate, I guess it is possible that we might have omitted something that, like, regarding his physical, but I don't think it would have been, you know, to fleece them in a trade or anything like that. It might have just like slipped by. They didn't think it was important or relevant, while the Warriors did think it was important. So I think there's no chance we did it to get the trade done or anything like that. But do I think the Warriors are completely making it up? I'm not sure. I just find the whole situation really weird. I don't know. You take over.
Okay, so couple things. First things first. Do you not find it funny, the team that pushed KD to keep playing and keep playing, and he had all these calf issues that led to an Achilles tear, is now throwing a fit that we were hiding some health and concerns with Gary Payton? Like, to me, the fact that the fans of Golden State are trying to get mad at us for that, first of all, is just mind-blowing. You literally have Kevin Durant going out there who complains every game that his calf is tight and locked up and he can't run around, and they make him play every game, and then he tears his Achilles, right? But, you know, because we traded Gary Payton to them, who missed way longer time than he was supposed to at the beginning of the year, has come back and missed, like, pretty much played one game, missed one game, played one game, missed two games, played one game, like, all of that And now they're surprised. Oh, wow. He's still hurt. Wow. That's crazy. Okay. So that's first thing. I just don't understand that. First of all, second of all, let me ask you this before I get into the whole thing. Is Gary Payton, because also one thing you didn't talk about was Gary Payton pretty much calling out Portland, saying how bad of a franchise we are and how we pushed him to play when he was hurt, and all the players that leave are always so happy to leave, which I don't know if I've ever seen another player say that.
That was Jason Quick, not Gary Payton.
Oh, is that what Jason Quick said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you this. Is Gary Payton quickly climbing up the ranks of most disliked Blazer with the likes of Fatboy Felton?
I completely disagree. I don't think that's the case at all. There is a question of who leaked it, so it could have been from his side. But even if that was the case, like I might dislike him, but one of the most hated Blazers of all time, I don't think he comes near that conversation just based on that.
There's a lot of people that were mad at him because they felt like he was faking an injury. We heard it a lot in our Discord. I heard it a lot on like Facebook and everything. People complaining that he's not really this hurt, and you know, I never was on that. I always made jokes like, "Oh, we may never see him," and it's true. That was true. Like now we trade him, and they're saying he's going to be out maybe another 3 months. So that wasn't wrong. I mean, it was funny to joke about because we were told it was only going to be like a month, and then here we were like 2-3 months into the season, he still hadn't played. But there was a lot of people that were like saying he was faking it. And then that from Jason Quick comes out, and I could just tell people were like all of a sudden just hated him. And I was like, I mean, I don't, he played like 6 games for us. Why, like what, why are you going to hate on 6 games? Like we didn't gain nothing. We didn't lose nothing. We signed him. We probably gained something. We signed him and then got 5 second-round picks for him. I mean, if anything, he did good for us. He got us some picks. But no, here's my issue. Here's my issue. Whether or not he was getting toward all shots, which his agent declined, saying that that never happened. Then it came out saying that he was taking some type of pain medicine pill. Toradol pill. I don't even know if they make a Toradol pill, honestly. So, I mean, what is he taking? Ibuprofen? Advil? Is that what he's taking for his core issues? I mean, either way, whether Dame got shots for his core issue, remember, last year?
Yeah, for like years.
Yep. And yeah, and years. And he played. And here's the thing. In this league, where it's such a player's league, if a player does not want to play, that player is not going to play. Same with Kevin Durant. I know I said, you know, that the Warriors pushed him to play. We have seen Kevin Durant say, I'm not going to play, and he's not played. Same with Kawhi. Same with James Harden. Like, if a player does not want to play because he's hurt, they're not going to play. Do I think Gary Payton was hurt? Probably. Yes, I do think so. I still think he's hurt. And, you know, only being able to play one game and then having to take a game off, like that's clear proof that he still had issues. Do I blame him? No. Clearly, whatever core surgery he had did not work as well as what Dame had. My issue is the Warriors trying to make something out, like, how can you not look at what he has done this year and not be surprised that he's still hurt? Like, it makes no sense. I just don't get it. I think they're just a lot of people. Like when I heard that the trade could be in jeopardy, I was like, no, it's not in jeopardy because they're getting rid of Wiseman and they don't want Wiseman. So they're getting rid of him.
Yeah. And they're saving $10 million this year, next year. I don't know. Something like that.
This is what it all comes down to. Okay. This is what I truly think it comes down to. What is Bob Myers is the GM. I'm trying to think of what the owner is. His name Joe is like Lakeham or something. Like that. This team has been, the Warriors have been for how long? 10 years now? Just championship favorites every year for 10 years, pretty much. It seems like every year somehow they get better and better. This year, not looking so good. Players are getting older, injuries are starting to happen. you know, they're in the repeater tax, and you know me, I'm not a salary person, you know, and not into the cap and everything. But even I know they're about to pay a shit ton of money for this roster, right? So they make this trade to shed a bunch of salary, to get rid of a player that they don't want and want to get rid of because he's not panning out the way, you know, people thought he would. And you get, first off, they're getting Gary Payton back, who's a good defender, and they need help defensively. So just that reason alone, I don't see why they would reverse the trade. But it almost feels to me like it's like a not a smoke screen, but just like something to be like, let's get the attention off the fact that we're shedding a bunch of salary because we don't want to pay all this money. And let's blame the Blazers. They traded us someone that's been hurt all year and we knew about it, but let's pretend like we didn't know. It doesn't make sense. Whether or not he's taken toward all shots or not, you know the dude was hurt. Just like with the Larry Nance trade, the Pelicans knew the dude was hurt. And I'm pretty sure if I remember seeing in the Discord, everyone was talking about how they even waived the physicals because they knew they would fail it anyways. So for the Warriors to bring up that, oh, the Pelicans should be, you guys should be mad too. Get mad at the Blazers too, you guys. Come on, join us. Like, that's just stupid. It makes no sense. They knew. So for me, we traded Gary Payton. Could he have been nice here? Yes, I think he could have. Did he want to play here? I don't really think he did. I think he signed here for the money.
Yeah, he signed for the money. He wasn't happy, so he requested a trade back to Portland.
Yeah.
I mean, back to Golden State.
And I mean, he even himself said that he signed because of the money, which was red flag number one for me. And I don't know if I mentioned it or not in the podcast when we signed him, but from the get-go, that was always something that, like, you don't normally hear a player say, oh, I did it for the money. Like, normally they're like, no, I believe this team, or, you know, they give you the fake media answer. And he literally just was like, yeah, no, Portland gave me the most money, so I took it. And so part of me is not surprised at all that he went back to Golden State, or at least that he requested a trade. So as far as this trade goes, we got 5 seconds, five or four. Five. I think it's five. Yeah. We got 5 seconds from the Warriors. And I will gladly take that. This is something we haven't talked about yet, but my feeling on this is every move that we made this in the trade deadline so far, has pointed to me thinking they are going all in this offseason. And here's what I'm going to say. If this offseason does not produce bigger moves and, you know, some real good players that we really think that is going to help us, you know, compete, that is when I will officially be done with Cronin, done with the front office, done with everything, because at that point we've pretty much just been lied to. It's everything has been, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this, we're gonna slowly do this. They've created cap space by getting rid of, you know, getting expiring contracts. They've created a bunch of picks. We have at most 9 second round picks, an extra first round pick. We have all these picks. Whether people want to admit it or not, and I still don't know. We have Simons that we can trade. We have Sharp that we can trade. We have Nurkic that we can trade. To me, this offseason is the biggest offseason we've had in a long time, even probably back to when LaMarcus Aldridge was becoming a free agent. And at this point, if they don't do something, this is when I will no longer be able to look at it with, like, what's the saying, rose-colored glasses or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, it's just now they're just rubbing it in our face that they don't care, and they just want to make sure we have a semi-competitive team that's going to be make fans want to come at least watch, because we're at least going to win some games and close games, and all they care about is getting people in the seats. And at that point, that's when I'm not going to be happy. So before we go on to the last trade, that's my opinion. I think this offseason is the most important, and it's going to tell us a lot about what's going to happen.
So, my thoughts are, okay, it's kind of hard to evaluate the Gary Payton trade because he requested a trade, and then also because of all the other stuff that happened. between, you know, the two trades, I don't think either of them were bad value. I don't think one necessarily either, but I think they were both fair value. You know, it was an even trade. I have no issue with that aspect of it. What my issue is, and it's kind of like the same reason why you seem to like it, I seem to not like it, is I don't understand the direction of the team, and I haven't understood it since Cronin took over. Like, he says one thing and I feel like he doesn't do that. Like, he said we don't want to build around like young guys, and we don't want to, or like, we're willing to, you know, make the trades and, you know, like, cash in the assets, but then he's trading Josh Hart, who's a good player, for an asset. He's trading Gary Payton, who he signed as like his one of his first big moves, who was promised to be like one of, like, a huge part of our team, and he just traded him away for second round picks, which is okay, but I just feel like there's a lack of a direction, which I think is really concerning, especially since he said he wanted, when he took over, he said he wanted the team to have a clear direction, and I feel like that's not happening, at least to me. I don't see what the long-term goal is. Like, you say we're going for an all-in trade, but 5 second-round picks is not getting you much in a trade. Like, how many, what did we see this this deadline? That's worth Gary Payton, that's worth Jay Crowder. Like, 5 second-round picks is like a late first, like one maybe late first, so it's not adding a whole lot of value. Like, it's okay to have because you might hit on one or two of them. Like, I don't mind in that aspect, but in terms of trading it, I don't, like, I feel like that, sure, we're collecting assets for the summer, and you can argue that's the best thing to do, and I probably would even agree with that. Like, we should be saving our assets for the summer, but if we're trading away talent that we worked hard to accumulate on this current team and Josh Hart and Gary Payton, if we're getting rid of them to get assets, that's where what I find concerning, because last summer we were supposed to bridge the gap, and then it was supposed to be this summer that where, you know, we fill in that gap to become a contender. And I feel like now we're basically just back to where we were last summer, and now, like, you can, there's no all-in trade that we can make that will, like, bring us from where we are right now to contender status. That's not happening. And also, I think, Gary Payton, like, that was his big free agent signing, and to give up on him, even if he requested a trade, like, I get doing right by the player, but, like, I feel like that was kind of a wasted, I don't know, signing or something. Like, 5 second-round picks, again, it's not bad value, but if we're building a contender, getting a starter caliber player, which he might not have been right now, but he might have been able to turn into, would have been more important than 5 second-round picks. But anyways, this is all to say, I don't hate the value that we got in the trades. I think that was fine. I am concerned with the direction, or rather lack thereof. And also, because we, you know, like, I think it's impossible to deny that we got worse talent wise for the rest of the season, and we're sitting at like in that 10 to 12 range, so if we miss the playoffs, I feel like that's another big concern. Like, yeah, we get our pick this year, and, you know, it could be something nice, but making the playoffs would mean we can trade our future first. It means, you know, Jeremy Grant has confidence in our team, he says he wants to be here, but if we miss the playoffs, is he still gonna feel that way? I don't know. Like, these are things they have to consider. So if we're taking away talent on our team to gather assets, that I don't know if that's the best or the safest choice. That's why I want to, you know, not really do much this deadline at all, so then we can save the assets that we have and then unlock our future picks by making the playoffs, and then we can do that all in trade. But if we're putting ourselves at a risk of missing the playoffs, then we might not even have future picks to trade to go all in, unless we shed more assets to Chicago to drop the protections and then let us trade the other picks. But then we still only have three, I think. We only I think if we miss the playoffs, we'll only, if we miss the playoffs and get rid of the protections on our Chicago pick, I think we'll have 3 picks to trade, which is okay, but we would have to give up a second or two to unlock those trades, whereas we can unlock them just by making the playoffs. So anyways, I don't hate it because at the end of the day, it wasn't a huge like move or deadline week in either direction. I just, it didn't inspire a lot of confidence for me. That's my general concern.
No, and I get it. And that's what I mean by saying, if by this offseason we don't see like clearly this is them going all in, then I'm done. I'm over it. I'm tired of listening to it. Here's my perception on what they can do. And I know some people are not going to be a fan of this. We have all these second round picks, right? I don't necessarily think you use those second round picks to try to get a big name player. I think you use those second round picks to try to get players that are going to help our bench unit. Like, you know, before the Lakers came in and stole Vanderbilt from us, we were going to use second round picks to get Vanderbilt. Like, that's the type of player that would be good on our bench, could possibly start if, you know, this year he probably would have started. But I mean, so you use those picks to, you know, bolster your bench up a little bit, get a little more depth. You have, if we were to make the playoffs, obviously we have more first round picks to use. But here's where I think this is how you go all in. And it's something that we've talked about in prior podcasts, and I'm going to stick with it. I will never back down from it.
I think you're going to say,
we have to trade Simons. Oh,
okay. That's fine.
Were you saying OG?
Yeah.
No. We have to trade Simons. It this offseason, you have to trade Simons. If the honest goal is to try to compete for a championship, you have to trade Simons. I mean, I don't know about you, Fouad, and tell me if I'm wrong.
You're 100%
but right. Are you getting a little, like, do you feel like Simons is losing value as the season goes on? He's not inconsistent to, like, I would say, like, Nurkic's level, yeah. But there are games where he is absolutely, every game he's killing us defensively, but there are games that he is killing us offensively as well, and it's becoming an issue, I feel like. It's becoming these, you know, 4-for-18 shooting nights, and I like Simons, and I think he can be a good player, but there is no path in all the, you know, Marvel different universes that we will win with Damian and I almost just called him CJ and Ant side by side. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I get what you're saying about his inconsistently, and I've 100% felt that way too. I just don't know if it has been so bad that it's affected his trade value. I think, you know, people were talking about him more in the first half of the season, so maybe in that sense it might have gone down like a little bit, but I think in general, like, his frustrations have been kept like within Portland. I don't think it's affected his value league wide. But again, like, what do I know? I'm not talking to any GMs.
Well, yeah, and I agree. I don't think it has. I'm just afraid it will.
I agree.
I've always said he's not a player that I dislike. I think he's If we want to just pretend to commit to winning and just not do it like it seems like they've been doing, then keeping him in Sharp is the best way to do it. But in my opinion, if you, and I've said it 1,000 times and I'll say it 1,000 more times probably, Simons has got to be in a trade for a player that is making us better. And I'm, as much as I like Sharp and as much as I think he could be a very good player, If there is a trade out there that makes us better right now in the offseason and the next season, I have no issues going all. Like I said, I will trade everything, all the picks, all the players for one legitimate run. Like, one championship will make it worth 5 to 6 years of bad basketball. Like, I will hold on to that feeling of being a champion through those 6 years of struggling to get back up to being at least subpar. Like, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I have no issue with it. And I think a lot of people would feel the same way. We value our players way too much. We haven't even got to the last trade we made, but we value our players way, way, way too much. And it's so hard as a fan base to let these players go. And I think that's why it makes our fan base so great. But I also think it's why it makes our fan base so frustrating to be a part of, because you see these people that are like, no, we got to keep everybody. We can do it. It just, we have to let go and let God. Like, I don't know.
I'm just going to,
that could be a whole nother podcast.
I'm just going to sum my thoughts up on Ant in one sentence. I just want to see one season prime Dame where he has a good defender as his backcourt mate.
Yes.
That's all I want. If we never make the playoffs again after that season, I will be okay with it. Just give me one season where Dame in his healthy prime as someone who can play defense as his shooting guard, please.
I mean, I want you just to picture this year, if we did not have Simons, the way Dame is playing with a more defensive, like a more well-rounded shooting guard. Like, okay, let me put it this way. Back when we had Wesley Matthews, who was playing very good for us, imagine having Wesley Matthews next to Damian Lillard right now. Like, not a huge player. He's not going to get you 20, 30 points a game, but he's playing good defense. He's making winning plays. Kind of like how Josh Hart is. Like, that's kind of how I compared Josh Hart, was kind of like Matthews. I'm with you. I feel you. I'm 100% with you. I would love for it to work out with Ant and Dame. I would love for it to.
You know who would fit?
But it's not going to.
You know who would fit really well next to Dame as a shooting guard and not as a small forward? Norman Powell. That would be an intriguing
right? fit. It's almost like we've said that for a while now.
Anyways, let's move on to this last.
Yeah, let's get to the last trade. And this trade I'm actually excited about. This is the one trade that we made that I truly think that this player, we re-sign. I think he's worth re-signing. We traded, I'm not even going to attempt to say his name. I'm not even going to try. Some crazy name. Sving Mikhaili, however you say it. I'm terrible with names. We traded him to, I think he, did he go to Charlotte or did he go to Philadelphia? Charlotte. And one second round pick for Matisse Thybulle.
Yes.
One of the best defenders in the league. How do we put this? In Philadelphia, one of the worst offensive players in the league, but one of the best defensive players.
All
in
you
the
need
league.
To know
he's 20
about him in Philly this season. Again, like you said, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. I think he made an All-NBA team. And despite that, his offense is so bad that he's not in the rotation for Philly this season.
Yeah. It's like we cannot sugarcoat it. He averaged 2 points a game this year. 33% from three.
That's higher than
he's attempting 1 3 a game. So 33%. So every third game he makes 1 3. Offensively, he has not been good. Now, defensively, like you said, made an All-NBA defensive team. He's young. He's long. And the one game he's played with us, hit 4 threes, had 14 points, shot 55%. Like, I had 6 rebounds, had 3 blocks. And one block, I don't know if you saw it, but he contested a dude from the three-point line, from almost the elbow of the free throw line, contested it and blocked it. It was a crazy block. Thybulle is a player that I think no matter how bad his offense is, he's worth re-signing because of his defense. And even if it's, I think, I don't, I haven't seen enough of him. I won't claim to be someone who's watched a lot of him, but I think he can be okay offensively. I think if he's left open, I think he could probably knock down one or two threes if he's left wide open. I don't expect him to create shots for himself. I don't necessarily expect him to create shots for other people. But if he continues to play the defense that he's been playing the last 4 years, I've got no problem. It's kind of like Gary Payton. Gary Payton was probably a little bit better offensively, but I think you think Thybulle's better defensively than Gary Payton is?
No, I think Gary Payton's probably better, but I think it's close enough that it's not a huge difference.
Yeah. I'm excited for him. Let me see what he's done tonight. Let's see what he's done tonight. He has 2 points and 3 steals. I mean, he's a defensive beast, and I'm excited for it. We didn't give up much. We gave up a second round pick for him. He expires this year. Like I said, as long as he doesn't like absolutely suck, I could see us re-signing him.
Yeah, I think he's worth about a second rounder, and that's what we paid. So I think it's a fair value trade. And again, I liked him his first few seasons. He's one of my favorite players off the court, one of my favorite non-Blazers off the court. So I'm excited to have him. If he can get back to being like just below average offensively rather than like one of the worst offensive players in the league, I think he could be really good for us. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but I am keeping my expectations in check. I feel like people are expecting a little bit too much out of him right now.
You mean like offensively?
And especially after the first team.
I agree.
But, you know, if he can... Let me quickly pull up his numbers. I feel like his first 2 seasons, he was like probably like a 35, 36% shooter, even though it was low.
I have it right here. So 35% his rookie year from three, 42 from the field, 42 the next year, 30% from three.
Basically only his rookie year.
50%. Yeah, 50% from the field his third year, 31%. And then this year, obviously, he hasn't really played very much.
Yeah, if he can get back to that first year where he's shooting 35%, 35.7, that's basically 36. Then he's amazing. He'll be amazing for us. But if he's, you know, shooting like 30% and can't really create his own shot or anything like that, might fall out of the rotation. But again, I'm optimistic. I'm rooting for him. I hope he plays well, and I hope he keeps his spot in the rotation.
Yeah, and I think just solely because of his defense, he's a player that some team, no matter what, is going to take a chance with him. Whereas Cam Reddish, I don't know if he doesn't show something here in the next 30 games that we have, or however many 20 games it is, he very well could not be in the league much longer. One player we forgot to talk about, I forgot to add in, and I believe it was with the Gary Payton trade, we got Kevin Knox also from the Knicks.
Is he even?
There's not really much to say about Kevin Knox. I believe he was a lottery pick.
He's like the 7th pick or something like that.
But Fawad in Discord showed me one picture, and it was all I needed to remember why I know he won't ever be good. His lottery suit that he wore was Fortnite, and he had Fortnite in the inside of it and was showing it off. And so the moment I saw that, it reaffirmed that he won't be on this roster for much longer. I don't even know what to say about him. There's nothing really to say about him.
To play devil's advocate, his numbers this year, it's low volume, but they look okay. He's not the worst. He might not be one of the worst players in the league anymore, but like that's all I can say. That's my highest compliment.
Yeah, I mean, he's shooting with Detroit this year. He was shooting 46%, 37 from three. I mean, that's not terrible. That's not terrible. The years before that, he was shooting 35% from the field.
He's legitimately one of the worst players in the league before this year.
It's all that Fortnite. Good Lord. Yeah, I there's nothing I'm going to even add on to Kevin Knox. He's a small forward that's not very good offensively, not very good defensively. That's about it.
Yeah.
I think this is his last year, so I think he's an expiring contract, and I don't foresee any way we re-sign him. Speaking of re-signing, I guess we did have to make one move that wasn't a trade. We had to waive somebody, and so unfortunately, bouncing Greg Brown got waived, so we no longer have Greg Brown on our roster. I never really saw any real development. Like, he's athletically gifted and he's a freak and can jump, and it just never was. I don't know if the basketball IQ was fully there, and I just, at least from my viewpoint, I just never really felt like he made a huge jump in the 2 years that we had him.
Yeah, it sucked that we had to cut him. Because the rules, basically, we couldn't cut any of the guys we took in. Like, we couldn't cut Ryan, mm-hmm. whatever his last name is.
Arkadakinon or something like that.
So it had to be him, which sucks. But, again, like, he was super athletic. He was a really good guy. Had great energy. Other than that, he hadn't really developed. Although, it's only 2 years. So I'm hoping he stays in the G League. And maybe if he develops in like 2-3 years, yeah. Maybe he might make his way back to the NBA. I hope he does. Because again,
and he honestly did okay in the G League too. I mean, I haven't
seen his numbers.
I saw just like stats, like his G League stats at one point, and they weren't bad. So I mean,
that's encouraging.
He definitely can play in the G League. But yeah, we've now seen a lot more of Trendon Watford. We've seen Jabari Walker. So good,
but we'll save that for next week.
Yes, Trendon has, yeah. But it's weird because, you know, we were so excited for Trendon to coming into the year, and then he kind of was disappointing a little bit, and then they went away from him completely, and Walker came in for a little bit, and now Watford's back in, and Watford's playing great again and getting us all excited again. So I'm hoping it's not a roller coaster guy. I'm hoping it's not like highs and lows with him. But for you guys that are listening, the sky's not falling. It's just it's not very bright either. I don't really have anything else to say. I hope to God we make the playoffs, because I think the best scenario is we make the playoffs so we can just give Chicago that pick and be done with it. So I think losing, you know, not making the playoffs hurts us more than making the playoffs. But essentially, to me, in my opinion, if you're not getting the first two picks, if you're not getting either Scoot or Wembanyama, it don't matter. Like, there's no need for us to have a mid lottery pick. Like, just let Chicago have it and be done with it and move on from it. I don't know about you, but that's my opinion. Make the playoffs is the better choice than not make the playoffs. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up?
I think let's wrap up.
Okay. Well, everybody, that was an exciting podcast. There was a lot of feelings in that one. But if you guys are still listening, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you guys. And as always, Rip City, baby. Thanks to My Life Pursuing for the music used on the intros and the outros of this podcast. You can check them out on all major streaming platforms at My Life Pursuing.